Hi, church. Hope everyone's doing well. My name's Orlando Interiano, and if you didn't know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I'd like to go ahead and share part of my story, which is a story of mental illness to mental wellness. I have been diagnosed and misdiagnosed with everything from bipolar, depression, generalized anxiety disorder, ADHD, anything under the sun, honestly, I've been labeled. From a young age, I wasn't able to stay still and would stay up late at night, unable to sleep. As I became a teenager, the symptoms of anxiety increased, and I developed a substance use disorder at age 14. I did not know how to handle my feelings as a teenager, so I coped through self-harm by hitting trees and walls, and let me tell you, the walls and trees always win, burning myself with cigarettes, cutting myself with needles, anything that would make me feel alive and connected. There were several factors which contributed to my mental health problems. I was molested sexually as a child by a young member of my church. The use of substances. Growing up separated from my parents from ages 14 and 19, which is another story for another day, and other traumas too many to list. The true onset of my symptoms developed at age 23. At first, help came during an episode of a meth-induced psychosis. I am grateful for the initial but incorrect diagnosis at the time of bipolar. I would receive several changes in my diagnosis throughout my life, and treatment has included multiple medications, months of intense outpatient treatment, and several hospitalizations. The first time having symptoms was frightening and confusing. The feelings of disconnection, the delusions and illusions, both visual and auditory, the desire to not want to live and the thoughts of how to die. I doubted myself, doubted God, doubted my family, and doubted reality itself. My mental illness affected my family. Being the first person diagnosed with a mental illness, my family responded as best they could. A big question was whether I was to be on medication or not. Sometimes my family's effort to do the right thing backfired. It took years of struggles for them to be present in my life in a healthy way, being not too distant or too overbearing. I thank God for their continued support through many hospitalizations, relapses, self-harm, and suicide attempts. My mental illness affected my spiritual beliefs about church and mental wellness even more deeply. You see, I was very involved as a leader at a Spanish Pentecostal church, where mental health problems were either not talked about or condemned. Those who took antidepressants were told they had weak faith and were really not Christians. Mental illness was over-spiritualized, and people would pray to get the demon of depression or anxiety out. It's amazing how being possessed by a demon was so much more acceptable than being mentally unwell. One time after the pastor preached on lack of faith among those claiming to be depressed, I immediately confronted him. I asked him if I, the youth pastor, was he aware that I was on antidepressants. But by then, I had labeled myself as one having little faith. Unfortunately, the pastor continued in his beliefs, and after preaching another stigmatizing sermon on mental illness, the next day, a member who had been suffering from depression killed himself. There were times I wasn't in church because I was hospitalized, and the common rumor was, Orlando, he must be sinning. There are many potential negative triggers and statements to someone who suffers with mental wellness, and I became accustomed to statements like, why are you in a bad mood? Have you not taken your meds? Don't be sad. Just pray. Orlando, you're not crazy. Those medications are making you crazy. Or, Orlando, you are crazy. And not being on those medications is making you more crazy. Comments like those always hit me hard, like a bucket of ice-cold water on the back. The hardest moment was when I was told, you are no longer the youth leader or the worship leader for the youth. You have been replaced. We haven't heard anything from you. How can you possibly explain your behavior? Well, I explained, I was feeling suicidal and had to be hospitalized. I didn't feel supported or cared much by my church leaders, but I thank God I have actually now forgiven them because I see they were limited by their ignorance. When I was healthy, my curse was a blessing. I was able to care for the youth in the congregation who shared similar struggles I had in my youth. Then in 2014, I gained hope. In Acts 2, a grow and serve group here in U City Church, I was going through a divorce fueled by my symptoms and relapse into addiction. I am what you call dual diagnosed, meaning I have both a mental disorder and a substance use disorder. The double whammy, I like to say. At Acts 2, I mentioned I was going through a change of medications and asked for prayer. The love, support, and lack of stigma the community poured out on me was surprising. They saw me as Orlando, not as an addict, not as someone who has had many diagnoses, not as someone who has fallen from grace and going through a divorce. But as one of the members, Angela Song, put it, Orlando, I see you as such an amazing, beautiful, broken masterpiece in God's eyes. Recovery and appropriate support hasn't happened overnight. Daily, I must maintain a continued strong connection with Christ, a strong support for my family and friends, believing faithfully that God has placed psychiatrists and therapists in my path, faith to take medication, and also faith to know when to reduce medication. Recently, I struggled hard to come off of a medication, yet these large struggles triggered the largest support from Christ and my Christian community. My worship pastor, Josh Paredes, and Pastor Kevin blessed me by supporting my request to take 6 weeks off from the worship team to gain greater mental wellness. Today actually marks week number 6, and I can't wait to rejoin the worship team. A major coping strategy that helps me now is the Monday night mental health support group we have here at New City that meets at the church office from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. I'll never forget when Vanessa Padilla called me and said, "Hey, would you be interested in starting a mental health support group?" My response was, "Sure, no problem. Who's all in it right now?" Her response was, "Well, right now, just you and me." At the time, I did not realize it, but God was bringing back to life a long-held desire of my heart to start a group just like this. God never forgets the right desires of our hearts. My favorite thing about the Monday night support group is building community among what Charles Spurgeon, a famous preacher who suffered from depression, called the sons and daughters of sorrows. The group is growing, and what God is doing through us and for us is indescribable. The mental health support group has allowed me to shed tears and open up when my mind says things that are contrary to what Christ wants for me. In our group of 12 to 14 people, we have discovered that there is a difference between our symptoms and our sins. When our symptoms cause sinful behavior, we have Christ's safety and grace. When we fall into sin, Christ says, "I know it was you, but you are forgiven and loved more than you can possibly imagine." So what do I believe the church can do to help eliminate stigma? Here are a couple, but not all, tips. Allow the person going through a mental health issue to express what would be most helpful to them. Celebrate our moments of joy and be there during our moments of sorrows. Appreciate and protect people's right for privacy. But at the same time, do not be afraid to talk and listen to someone who is willing to share about their mental health experience. Always, and I do mean always, ask them first if it's okay for you to share with someone else their personal experience. Just because someone in your congregation looks and behaves okay doesn't always mean they are. Take time to understand what a diagnosis means. What is depression, PTSD, bipolar, schizophrenia, ADHD? Those terms get used so loosely and irresponsibly today in the media and further distances those with these diagnoses for fear of shame and being stigmatized. For those with and without mental health issues, remember, it's not you versus us or us versus them. We're all one in the body of Christ. It's important to know that the caregiver of a loved one with a mental illness is trying so hard to understand their loved one, and the loved one is trying hard to be understood. Someone with mental health issues has much to offer the life of a church in service and volunteering. If you are one with a mental health issue, God wants to work through you, for you, and for the edification of the church. I love that we follow up with people here at New City when we notice their absence. I appreciate the fact that I get a text every now and then from members of our church asking if I'm okay. Asking if everything is okay can go a long way. And as always, pray with and for people. There are so many people in the Bible who lived a life with God but through a terrible, difficult time in mental anguish. To name a couple, Elijah, Jeremiah, David, Jonah, and other biblical figures that today would have been considered to have been clinically depressed with anxiety, schizophrenic, bipolar with PTSD, all wrapped up into one. These are just a few of the many do's and don'ts when interacting with a brother or sister who is struggling with illness but working towards mental wellness. I thank you for this time, and God bless you.